对唱爷爷的，什么爱是一个贼吗？爱是一个世界一番的人，不能打扰的。世界多一个大他，是把事情过过的人的。Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We've been discussing the past few days about seeing Krishna. In one sense, that is a legitimate goal, naturally.We just don't want to theorize about God. We just don't want to have religious belief in God. We want to experience God. And indeed, the process of bhakti yoga gives that. It'll take some time. It's not difficult if we stick to Krishna's instructions. Then again, a devotee is thinking,Whether I see Krishna or not, what does it matter? As long as I have devotional service. Actually, that attitude is seeing Krishna, but that's a paradoxical mystery. The more you simply think, let me see Krishna's service, let me see what is necessary for Krishna's pleasure, the more you're actually seeing Krishna.This is the highest mysticism. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yogi nama pisarvesham bhagyatenam tamatmana shantavam bhajatenomam samayuktatamomata. Krishna says, the greatest yogi is the one who's always worshipping me. Worshipping means not in the Western sense of the word where you go to a church and justsit in the pews and offer some songs. Now, worship means you engage your senses, all your senses, in Krishna's service. That is the highest yogi. The more you advance in Krishna consciousness, the more you'll see Krishna. But what does it mean to see Krishna? There are different levels of seeing, all contained within the reality of seeing Krishna.Bhakti yoga means to become practiced in seeing Krishna always. That's what we're doing here. We're not believing in God. We're not learning some theology. We are practicing how to see Krishna more and more. From the very beginning, you're seeing Krishna. And...There's no end to bhakti yoga. The more advanced you become, the more you see Krishna. Still, from the very beginning, you are seeing Krishna. And that is the fact. For example, in a relationship, when you're attracted to someone, in the beginning it may start out in a small way. A little curiosity about the person. The person may cross your mind a few times during the day. Then, gradually, as you get to know the person more, you start to think about the person more. Finally, things get so intense that you suddenly realize, oh, I'm in a relationship. And then everywhere you look,And you see something belonging to that person, you think of that person. So you start seeing that person everywhere. I'm sure so many of you had that emotional experience, not simply in a so-called love affair, but mother and child, like my mother, around the house, if she looks at something that used to belong to me, she immediately thinks of me, she tries to call me on the phone, figure out where in the world I am. This is a practical example. So why is it we make such a difficult, obscure thing about seeing Krishna? It's all about building a relationship based on service. You cannot order Krishna, I want to see you. Come stand here with your flute. I've taken initiation. I've got a Sanskrit name. I'm wearing Kutimala. Now, I want to see you. Free-fall bending form right now. You can't do that. Would you do that to anyone? No. There's proper decorum, proper etiquette, a proper way to establish an act in a relationship sensitively. This is what bhakti yoga is about. Nevertheless, from the very beginning, you are seeing Krishna. So if someone asks you, have you seen Krishna? You should say, yes, I do see Krishna. There's just different levels of intensity, that's all. The duty of the bhakta, the devotee, is to always think of Krishna. That requires training. The whole purpose of this temple is to give everyone a chance to have Krishna firmly imprinted on their consciousness. That's why we have all the duties, the puja, the preaching, is to impress Krishna firmly on our mind. This temple is an opportunity to do duties that will cause you to think of Krishna. Especially if you're not a very advanced devotee who can wander everywhere and immediately think of Krishna. You really need the temple and its program. Sometimes it's forgotten. What's the purpose of this temple? What's the purpose of any temple? Is it a social club? Well, in some ways, yes. This is the society of devotees. This is the club Krishna. The purpose of the socializing is to inspire each other to think of Krishna and discuss Krishna. And then the deity is the central person in the temple. Devotees always look at the deities, see how they're dressed, see how they're being served. You should feel anxiety for the service of the deity. If you have a home, if you have a car, if you have a computer, if you have a camera, you're in anxiety about it. Make sure it's taken care of nicely. Make sure the car is running smoothly, keep it in order. Make sure the home is very tidy. Yes, those of you who have householders, you know you have to be concerned in that way. Therefore, it's not easy, it's not difficult to understand how we should be concerned for Krishna, for Krishna's service. The more you think of Krishna's comfort, the more you think of Krishna's pleasure, the more you advance in Krishna consciousness. That is seeing Krishna everywhere when you're thinking, how is the deity being served? Thinking like that means seeing Krishna. Sometimes devotees, they think, seeing Krishna, does that mean I'll just be walking on the street one day? That also is there. But the point is, if you are thinking as you're walking down the street, how can I improve my devotional service? You are also seeing Krishna. Let's have a full understanding of the bhakti mysticism. When you're thinking, how can Krishna be pleased? Then Krishna is on your eyeballs. You have the experience even in an ordinary relationship. You're walking somewhere and you're thinking about your family. What is my son doing now? What is the wife doing now? What is the husband doing now? You're seeing that person. Try to understand. That's so even on the material platform, not to speak of on the spiritual platform, where the person is non-different from thought of the person. So when you think of Krishna and how Krishna can be served, you are seeing Krishna. We should hanker for opportunities how to increase our focus on Krishna. That is the purpose of the temple. Sometimes it's forgotten. The deity is here to improve our thinking ability on Krishna. We should look at the temple in that way. Whether we live in the temple or live outside the temple, we should be thinking, the temple is a place where my thinking of Krishna can be increased. When my thinking of Krishna increases, my seeing of Krishna increases. Yes, we encourage everyone who has a home to have deities in the home. Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles told us something very profound about the difference between temple deity worship and home worship. Because the question came to him. Householders were saying, well, why should we come to the temple? We have our own deity at home. And Prabhupada said, that's all right. Okay. We can go that route. If your home deities are worshipped to the same standard as the temple deities. He said, those who do the puja for your home deities have to be on the same level as the temple pujaris. They have to be twice initiated, duly qualified brahmanas. And there has to be regular puja. Not, of course, so many artis as in the temple, but there must be every day regulated worship. Not that, he said, oh, I'm traveling so often for the festival, so just leave the deities and we'll come back in a few days. No, that's not how you do it. If you want to say that your home puja is beneficial, then if you're going traveling, you have to make an arrangement for someone to serve your deities. And Prabhupada gave the example about high-class aristocratic families in India, in the Vaishnava tradition. They may be very wealthy, but still they have Mangalarti in the morning. And if one of the family members doesn't come for Mangalarti, he gets fined. And if the family has to go away to meet relatives or business trip, they don't just shut the deity up and, okay, we're going, it's just a home deity. Yeah. No! If that deity worship is actually going to be potent and respected, then someone stays behind to take care of the deity. That's just the way it is. The point is that we want to think of Krishna. The more we feel obligated to Krishna's service, the more thoughts of Krishna will be in our mind. And there can't be this obligation without regulated duties. So the temple offers that opportunity for obligated service to the Archivicta, the deity incarnation of the Supreme Lord. We've been discussing how we're meant to come and gaze at the deities. Don't feel inhibited. Don't feel shy. There's no law stopping you from coming in the temple during the day and just gazing at the deities. That is bhakti. I think Krishna is the only person you can stare at who won't feel uncomfortable. Do you know any other person you can stare at continuously without them? You don't know any? Can you stare at Seva Guruji continuously without getting uncomfortable? Can you talk to do some service again? Krishna, you can do that with them. You can simply stare at Krishna. Just come before Krishna and just... That's why the deities are here. But, as I've explained before, sometimes I get the impression that devotees think you're only supposed to come and see the deities during the temple programs and all the 10 Mangalarti, greeting the deities and Sundararti in the evening. Otherwise, you know, you shouldn't do that because you're supposed to have other things to do. Yes, you are supposed to have other things to do. At the same time, you're always eager to see the form of Krishna. So while you're passing in the hall, you can just pop in, offer your obeisances. Oh, look at the crowns that the deities are wearing today. I didn't notice. Offer prayers to the Lord. When you're attached to someone, this is what you do. You take a peek at them whenever you can. Isn't it like that? Of course, for anyone else except Krishna, you have to kind of look at out of the corner of your eyes. But for Krishna, you can just bright-eyed, wide-eyed stare at him. And you'll make spiritual advancement. That is seeing Krishna. Let us understand what the purpose of the temple is. It's not a restrictive club. It is a club for everyone to come, see Krishna, and think about Krishna. If we take a bad mood, then the deities will bless us all with further opportunities in Krishna's service. How are we going to think of Krishna always if we don't love Krishna? Therefore, it's necessary to follow sadhana bhakti in order to develop our attraction for Krishna. And when that attraction is more, we'll think of Krishna more. When you're attached to someone, you're always thinking of that person. Now, how are we going to develop our attachment so that we'll always think of Krishna? And then, the more we think of Krishna, the more attached we'll be. And this way, things go on. A mundane example, again, will help us. When a boy and girl meet, and they start to develop attraction and attachment for each other, what are they thinking? When will we meet again? Yes, some of you have experienced that. When will we meet again? That feeling is meant for Krishna. When you see the deities, you should think, when will we meet again? And when will I see you again? Then your heart is starting to develop in bhakti. When you care for someone, you want to see them again. When the curtains close after Mangal Arati, you should be thinking, when will we see you again, Sri Srinivasa Gaura Chandra? There's a time for different ways of seeing Krishna. For Mangal Arati, you're seeing Krishna one way. Then, when the curtains close, it's japa time, you're seeing Krishna through the holy name. All the activities in bhakti offer the chance to see Krishna. You don't just see with your eyes, you see with your tongue, chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasad. No one has doubts at prasad time, right? When it's time for prasad, everyone's fully fixed in Krishna consciousness, fully convinced. That's seeing Krishna through your tongue. Hearing Bhagavatam class means Krishna's coming to you through the ears. You're seeing Krishna with your ears. When you're discussing how to serve Krishna with other devotees, you're seeing Krishna through discussion. The tongue, the ears, the mind is thinking, how can Krishna be served better? This is seeing Krishna. So let's not have this sentimental understanding that seeing Krishna means you'll be walking down the steps in the temple or downstairs and all of a sudden a vision before your eyes. And if that doesn't happen, you're not seeing Krishna. That is not true. From the very beginning, you're seeing Krishna. And as you advance in Krishna consciousness, more and more, you understand, I'm seeing Krishna. And your heart becomes peaceful and your intelligence becomes firm. As we said a few days ago, the question is not, why isn't Krishna visible to me? The question is, Krishna is present everywhere. Why don't I see that? The process of bhakti yoga is meant to uncover for you the reality that Krishna is everywhere. You just don't see because of an eye problem. Maybe some of you had an infected eye sometime. Anyone had an infected eye ever? Yes. You can't see properly until the infection goes away. So this is what material life needs. We have an eye infection. Can't see properly. Bhakti yoga clears up that infection. And then you realize, Krishna's all around. Now what does it mean that Krishna's all around? First, understand that when you see the energy of this world and relate it to Krishna, you are seeing Krishna all around. You want to see God? You can see God as the deity. You can see Krishna as Bhagavad Gita. Still you say, I don't see, it's too difficult for me? Then Krishna makes it easy for you. When you drink water, you think Krishna is the taste of water. Who here doesn't drink water? And everyone drinks water, so every one of you has the ability to see Krishna. Now your material mind may reject this. Oh, it's not that simple, come on. You know, you drink water and say Krishna's a taste, and seeing Krishna, no. Yes! In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, this is how you see me. So you should practice every time you drink water, which you all do. You think, Krishna's the taste. That's seeing Krishna. Now there are various levels of intensity. That's true. Still, when you drink water and think Krishna's the taste, you're seeing Krishna. Maybe your intensity is small, and hopefully it will increase, but still the fact is there. You're seeing Krishna when you hold a cup to your lips and drink, and you think, Krishna's the taste. In any liquid. Therefore, Prabhupada explained, if there's no other way for a drunkard to be Krishna conscious, if every time the drunkard drinks wine and thinks Krishna's the taste, gradually the drunkard becomes Krishna conscious. It'd take a few lifetimes, but we don't recommend this way, no? But that's how powerful Krishna is. So what am I trying to explain to you? I'm trying to explain to you that you're already seeing Krishna. Maybe it's happened to you in your life that you were around someone all the time, maybe a neighbor or someone in your school class, and then suddenly you realize, I'm attached to this person. That person's always been there. I remember in the 50s there was a popular song, I'm living right next door to an angel. I just realized that the other teenage guy just realized it's the girl next door, you know, she's so it is like that in Krishna consciousness. We're with Krishna. We don't see it. And gradually, as we become purified, we realize I'm living with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the temple, or I'm coming from my home to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his home. You realize that more and more. You see, the devotee is eager for increased opportunities to see Krishna, to think of Krishna, to serve Krishna. That eagerness has to be there. And that eagerness will bring you above all the inconveniences. This world is an inconvenient place, even for devotees. But a devotee learns to see those inconveniences experienced in Krishna's service as a pleasure. How is that? When you're in love with someone, you take even the inconveniences as an opportunity to show your love. I'm sure you, in some kind of relationship, family or so-called romance or something, you had some inconvenience and the other person thanked you, oh, thank you for doing this for me. And what do you say? That's all right, no problem. Similarly, any Krishna service, there are setbacks, there are disappointments, there are inconveniences, sometimes disagreements, but you rise above all that by understanding. Our goal is Krishna's pleasure. Just like when you want to do something in the material world, there's always inconveniences. If you want to study at school or work a job, anything, even operating a video camera, it's inconvenient. All the controls, even having a mobile phone these days is inconvenient. You got to figure out so many things. Tirtharaj Das in Brisbane, he just gave me his mobile phone. He was upgrading to the latest sensations. He gave me last year's model. This is fine for me. But still, I got to figure out how to use it. It's inconvenient before I get the convenience. So why is it when it comes to Krishna service, we can't tolerate inconvenience? Yes, there will be little spats between devotees. There'll be misunderstandings. That's the way it is in this world. The difference between the material world and the spiritual world is that in the material world, the spats are for everyone's own sense gratification. But for devotees, whatever little spats are there are for how to serve Krishna better. That's the difference. You can be the greatest yogi just by seeing the world as Krishna's energy. What does the Lord say in Bhagavad Gita? The true yogi sees me in everyone and everyone in me. The self-realized soul sees me everywhere. So what does that mean? You can do that if you're seeing a tree, for example. You think the body of the tree is Krishna's material energy. And then in the material energy, there's the spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. A spirit soul had to take this kind of body due to unfortunate activities. When you think like that, you're on your way to samadhi. When you discuss amongst devotees, the tree body is matter. Within the tree body is the soul. This is the route to samadhi, seeing Krishna everywhere. You're seeing the Krishna connection in the tree. Gradually, by such discussion, the samadhi becomes so intense that you lose sight of the tree and you just see Shyam Sundar everywhere. Still, in the very beginning, if you're simply discussing trees as the energy of the Lord, you are seeing Krishna. They're just different levels of intensity. Just like in love, there are different levels of intensity. Please try to understand this point. If you're thinking, how can people be blessed with Krishna consciousness, you're seeing Krishna. Just like if I see Yashoda Dulal's son, I say, that's the son of Yashoda Dulal. What am I doing? I'm seeing Yashoda Dulal in the son. It doesn't mean I see like an image of Yashoda Dulal, you know, on the chest of the son. No, by identifying the son as his son, I'm seeing him in the son. Similarly, if you look at everyone as part of Krishna, you are seeing Krishna in them by this identification. Don't discount this. Don't take it cheaply. Gradually, by such thinking, your concentration on Krishna will increase. But still, my point is, even in the very beginning, you're seeing Krishna. How does the yogi observe Krishna in all beings? By thinking, you're part of Krishna, you should serve Krishna. Let me give you an opportunity. You see, seeing Krishna is very practical. It's not something airy-fairy or dreamy. From the very beginning, you're seeing Krishna. If you're thinking, how can the people, Krishna's parts and parcels, be connected to him again? How can everyone in Christ Church have some connection to Krishna? Then you're a true yogi. You're observing Krishna in all beings. You're seeing Krishna everywhere. And gradually your vision will become so intense that you'll see Shamasundar everywhere in his threefold bending form. But don't take cheaply simply seeing things as Krishna's energy. That's also seeing Krishna. It is genuine observance of Krishna, because Shakti, Shakti Mato Abheda. The Vedas state that there's no difference between the energy and the possessor of the energy. So when you see the energy and connect it to Krishna, you are actually seeing Krishna. They're just different levels of intensity. This is real samadhi. This is real yoga. Now, there's no question of being able to see Krishna according to any level of intensity if we perform sinful activities. Therefore, this initiation yajna means that those who are taking first initiation, they're promising, put a stop to sinful activity. I promise. I won't be able to see Krishna if I'm practicing sinful activity. Those who are taking second initiation, this is more serious. They're affirming, yes, we are determined to live the Krishna conscious lifestyle so that we will continue seeing Krishna more and more. What does Lord Brahma say in the Brahma Samhita? Santa sadaiva hilayeshu valokayanti. Santa, the saints, they see Krishna because their eyes are smeared with love. Bhakti yoga means how to be santa, how to be a saintly person. Saintly person means first be a human being. The regular principles, the four regular principles, make you a human being. They don't take you to the transcendental platform. It is the holy name of Krishna that takes you to the transcendental platform. But if we don't follow the regular principles, how can we even claim to be a human being? Human beings do not engage in unrestricted sex life, intoxication, meat eating, or gambling. Human beings do not do that. We have to get that point through our head. And the holy name takes you to the transcendental platform. So this is what we're being equipped with at this yajna. Those who are taking Brahmana initiation, they have six duties. Patan patan, yajan yajan, dana pratigraha. To study the Vedic literature and teach others the Vedic literature. To worship the deity and to teach others how to worship the deity. And to give charity and receive charity. Especially for householders, giving charity is very important. It reduces the self-centeredness of the ashram. But even brahmacharis and sannyasis, brahmatri, you can give charity. Someone gives you something, you have no real use for it, then you give it to someone else. That's giving and receiving charity. I hope you'll see how practical Krishna consciousness is. It's not something airy-fairy or some religious belief. We're talking about samadhi. We're talking about yoga. This is seeing Krishna just by recognizing everything in this world is Krishna's energy. That is seeing Krishna. Don't have a material conception of seeing Krishna. You can see Krishna with all your senses. Therefore, Bhakti Yoga offers you full facility for all your senses to be in contact with Krishna, and then your love for Krishna increases. And because your love for Krishna increases, you think of Krishna more. Thinking of Krishna more means seeing Krishna more. My hope is that you'll understand what the purpose of the temple is, to give you a chance to think of Krishna. When you see the deity worship according to the strict principles, then the presence of the deity is very powerful. And the Lord, in his archivigraha, fixes himself in your mind throughout the day when you're away in your own home or at work or on the street. You'll find that impression of the deity in your consciousness comes to you. You're thinking of your beloved. This is the beginning of Krishna consciousness. When you're talking to others at the university, on the street, trying to introduce Krishna consciousness to them, you are seeing Krishna. You're seeing the people as lost parts of Krishna. Come on, here's an opportunity. Serve Krishna. Connect to Krishna. You're being the greatest yogi, seeing Krishna in everyone, and everyone in Krishna. So it's not some kind of foggy mystical vision, or it's not some kind of word jugglery. It is a fact. When you see something belonging to your beloved, you think of the beloved. Like if my mother sees something that belonged to me at home, she thinks of me. So it's not that she has a relationship. Let's say she sees an old pair of shoes I used to wear 30 years ago, she still keeps. It's not that she's loving the shoes. The shoes simply make her think, oh, my son's shoes, where is my son? This is practical. Similarly, when we see everything in relation to Krishna, it's not that we're loving a microphone or loving a video camera or loving bricks and lights, but because they're connected to Krishna's service, they remind us of Krishna. This is how to attain samadhi. All right. So we have three persons taking second initiation. Please be real honest, not just wearing a thread, saying your Gayatri Mantra three times a day, and neglecting to study the Vedic knowledge, neglecting to worship the deity, neglecting to give and receive charity. If you're living in the temple, you live your Brahmana lifestyle in the temple. If you're living at home, you live your Brahmana lifestyle at home, but there must be the Brahmana qualities there. Otherwise, it's a farce. Cleanliness, austerity, honesty, theoretical and realized knowledge of God, and control of the mind and control of the senses. This is what Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. And one person is taking first initiation. That means no more sinful activity, and let me chant the holy name of Krishna. First initiation, a little liberal about. Second initiation is very serious. So for our second initiation, we have Bala Gopal Das. Very happy that he's learning the Vedic knowledge and teaching it to others, distributing it to others. Living in, as a brahmachari brahmana, it's a very sublime lifestyle. Very enviable position. Brahmachari is the best ashram. And you get to be the humble servant of Krishna with no inconvenience. Sannyasa ashram is a bit difficult. You have people in Charmaraj. And you start thinking, oh, I'm so wonderful, then you're finished. honestly remember the honors for Krishna. And actually, my service is not good. When will Krishna give me the ability to be a real devotee? This is another mystical paradox. One mystical paradox that we talk about is you're not trying to see Krishna, you're just trying to serve Krishna and see what's best for Krishna's service. But actually, that's seeing Krishna. The other mystical paradox is the disciple sees the spiritual master as the representative of God. But the spiritual master sees himself as the humble servant of his spiritual master. So these paradoxical views come together in the guru-disciple relationship. The Shastra instructs the disciple to see the spiritual master in a certain way. But the Shastra also instructs the spiritual master to see himself in a certain way. But both things happen simultaneously. The disciple feels grateful. You're giving me Krishna. You're teaching me about Krishna. You pulled me from the material world. You saved me. And the spiritual master is thinking, I'm just a tiny servant of my Guru Maharaj. Let me do this service for my Guru Maharaj, for helping others. And this way, maybe one day I'll pay my debt to him. That's how spiritual master thinks. It's a service rendered to Krishna. We have the Kendra and Sevakund. We hope that they'll demonstrate how to be good Brahmana family at home, raising a family in Krishna consciousness, and being actively involved in the mandir, in the temple. Not that, okay, I got my Brahmana station, see you around, folks. You don't have to come to the temple, you know, been there, done that. And we hope that they'll become, while they're here in Christchurch for some years, they're hoping to go to Mayapur one day and live there. But while they're here, we're hoping that they'll become active Brahmana members. But Sevakund is one of the original Loth devotees, going back to 95, yes. You don't want me to tell the story, do you? Everyone knows anyway, right? Anyone not know? It's part of history. It shows the dedication of the Vaishnava preachers to deliver the Lord's mercy in all circumstances. We got this nice letter. Someone had written, I think you wrote the BBT or something like that. Or you wrote? You're right. And this, you know, usually, you know, you write letters, you know, they just get lost somewhere. But somehow or other, the letter got to me. This person who lived in Palmerston North was very interested in Krishna. So one day, Chandrasekhar Maharaj and I were driving in the area. It was a Saturday night. He said, hey, we got this letter. Yeah, we should stop by and see who this is. It's Saturday night, you know. Nice letter. Surely it's a very pious girl. You probably suck a good load of goodness. So he just came up to the door, you know, knocked on the door, and you know, she opens. We could kind of sense that this wasn't the right moment. Excuse me, we'll come back tomorrow morning. Yeah, it was Saturday night, you know, entertaining, you know, all those things. Yeah. Yeah. You know, various things for adjusting the consciousness and all that kind of stuff. So, we came back 8 o'clock the next morning. and her prasad as you breakfast. Yes. So, she's one of the original devotees in Auckland. Akendra, don't know Akendra, he's from Texas. It's a unique part of the USA. Everyone else in the USA kind of always makes fun of Texans a bit. But the Texans think they're superior. They talk funny, and it's called a Texas drawl. I mean, you don't have yours anyway, though. You've been gone a long time. So everyone kind of thinks the Texans are odd, but the Texans think they're the greatest. One of those things. Anyway, he moved to Perth, Australia many years ago. And that's where I met him in Perth. What year? 1997. So now he's here in Christchurch doing a year of teacher training for supporting his family. So he'll be with you at least how many years?
Five.
At least 5 years. So we hope he's a great asset to the devotional community of Grihastha Brahmanas. Alright, so we have one person for first initiation. Come up, offer your obeisances, and ask you your vows. You can come, let's see, on this side. So this is Julia. She's been practicing Krishna consciousness for a little over a year and a half. She came to Krishna consciousness because she knew someone in Lanaka who also became a devotee. I think you've seen him for a while. You'll see him again at the end of this year. His name used to be Simon, now he's Yadav Roy. So, we always poke a little fun at Julia, the North Shore girl. There's a saying in Auckland. There's two types of persons who live in Auckland. Those who live on the North Shore and those who want to live on the North Shore. That's kind of a distinct dimension, you know. Yeah. They're a bit more, you know, quite a bit more wealthy, and they got their own world on the North Shore, you know, where just, you know, everything is wonderful and, you know, lots of money and what's the problem? But with her intelligence, she chose to be Krishna conscious. That's very good. If you, with your intelligence, whether you're poverty-stricken or wealthy, if you understand what is the use of material enjoyment, let me find the Lord of my life and render service, then, no matter where you're coming from, your life is fortunate. Now, I'm happy to say, from the very beginning, she's taken devotional service very seriously. I gave her some very strong instructions, which she took very seriously. She could have just ran away. But she took it deep into her heart. And also, she's assisting Krishna Loka in Wellington by managing the Gaur Yoga Center. That means she has to put up with me. But she's holding up pretty well. Learning to deal with a very demanding guru Maharaj. I'm a softy once you get to know me. All bark and no bite. Julia's taking her vows. What are the four regular principles?
No six, no intoxication, no eating, and no gambling.
What to do every day?
And at least 16 hours of Hare Krishna mantra.
Alright. Your name is Gorarti Devi Dasi.
Yeah.
You are Arti. That's what we do. Sundarti is your Arti for us. We sing the song by Mantivano Thakur. Kiva Jaya Jaya Gorjan. Aroti Kishova. Mantivano's song is inviting everyone. Come to the bank of the Ganges. Come see the Arti for Lord Chaitanya. He's there on a jewel throne. Brahma is there. Nara is there. Shiva is there. You come too. All the associates of the Lord are there. The Panchatattva is there. The Lord is being fanned. He's being worshipped in such a beautiful, opulent way. So that is the song we sing in the evening, the Gaur Arti song. So you can call the 7 o'clock Arti either Sundar Arti, Beautiful Arti, or you can call it Gaur Arti, because we're singing that Gaur Arti song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. By giving these names, I do it in a way that also reminds me of Krishna. So, whenever I look at you, I'll think of Gaur Arti. See? Everything has a purpose in Krishna consciousness. Your names are not simply for you, they're also for me.